Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Unpack your knives and stay. Yes, stay. Welcome, everybody, to another slash the final Top Chef wrap up of this season. I'm Haley Strong. I'm always here with you. And I'm here today, not with Kurt and LaTanya. I miss them very much and I love them very much. But I'm here with two very good friends of mine. Emily Scherr. Hey, what's up?
Hello.
You text me your Top Chef takes every week.
Yes.
Which is a thrill for me because I love nothing more than being live texted anything, honestly.
You know, text, voice, memo, recaps of what's happening on Last Chance Kitchen.
And one time when an episode of Survivor was on, I think it was the finale and our power went out.
Yeah.
You FaceTimed us.
I had completely forgotten about that. Wow. Yes.
And we're not alone. No. We are here with another good friend of mine, my current spouse, Ethan.
Hey, Haley. Hey, good friend, Haley.
What's up?
Roommate Haley. Not much. How are you?
We are currently in different rooms.
You're right behind me.
Coming to you live from multiple rooms in our house. You also share your live takes with me about every episode of Top Chef.
I do. Very live.
So Emily has a long storied history with Top Chef. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I have been watching it for basically when it started. I feel like I was watching all of the Bravo shows. I remember when they would just like air an entire season in a day because they didn't have actual programming to fill.
No content, only Housewives and Top Chef.
Content, only
like
Housewives.
The first binging.
Yeah. Exactly. So I've been watching for a long time. And then back when the pandemic started, I did a full total rewatch before or as All Stars 2 started. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Ethan, what is your history with Top Chef?
I have been watching Top Chef for roughly 2 to 3 seasons. With Top Chef and Top Chef Canada. So about 6 seasons total.
Yeah.
I'm new to the show, but I love it.
Yeah, you started watching a lot of shows when we officially moved in together.
Yes, a lot of reality television.
Yeah,
but I can get into it.
You like all of it. Who are your Top Chef favorites from what we've seen? I've made you watch a couple old seasons.
Yeah, well, and I know like Richard Blaze from various appearances, you know, on the Food Network, other shows. So I know a lot of them, even if it's not from Top Chef. But yeah, love Richard Blaze. Love Melissa. She's awesome. Never seen Kwame before the season, but I love this guy. He's a positive energy. I like him. So, yeah, there's a few of the alumni that I know and really like.
Did you know that I think Kwame and I were on the same season of Top Chef?
Yes, you were on a season of Top Chef. I hear
was.
Many a times this story.
Well, it's a real thrill for me.
The
cat is currently screaming because both of us have our doors closed.
Yeah, he doesn't like it.
He's not thrilled. This season, so this is the finale. What have you guys thought of this season? Has this been like top notch for you? Middle of the road? How have you felt? How has the pandemic really changed the way you watch Top Chef and the way Top Chef is portrayed on our TVs?
I feel like it's a show that it's definitely gotten more fuzzy over the years, of like warm and fuzzy and positive, given, I think, the general shift of reality TV. I think we saw it starting with All Stars, and we saw it with this season of there's a lot of camaraderie within all of them. We never really had a real villain, which was kind of nice to see on a show. The season itself, I thought, started really strong. I feel like it sort of stumbled a little towards the end, but I feel like everyone involved was just sort of fatigued from the past year and then suddenly going into a TV production cycle. At least that was my take on it.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah, I was really into the season. Again, it's like my third season. So it's at least top two next to All Stars for sure. I loved it. I very much love niceness in shows. I think everybody should get along. I like it when the contestants get along. To me, there's nothing better than like, oh man, you made such a good dish, you deserve to stay and I should go home. Like, that's my jam right there. So there was a lot of that this season. I know, like you said, no villains on the season for the most part. It was very nice heavy, and I like that.
Yeah,
there is an elephant in the room when it comes to this finale.
Yep.
Gabe has won Top Chef. It came out at the end of, I think there was an article in December 2020 about, or at some point, that Gabe had gotten fired from his executive chef position in Austin due to, quote, repeated violations of our policies for behavior in conflict with our values. So this is interesting. There had been kind of maybe rumblings about it throughout the season, but nobody had really talked about it. And is some things came out before the finale, and some also came out after the finale. So let me read what Gregory wrote on his Instagram. I think it was on his Instagram. He said, the restaurant industry has a long way to go, and I wonder if we will ever get there. First step, let's stop industry worker abuse. And he goes on to say more about that. Working in restaurants, it's not easy. You do get involved with some people who are not super nice, don't treat people super well. And there isn't a whole lot about what Gabe got into. Is that the case?
Well, there was, I mean, so I,
yes, lots of content warnings for this next bit. Just,
yeah,
just general content warnings.
Yeah. So, I mean, so I go on the Bravo Top Chef Reddit, and so there's been comments there from people who have interacted with Gabe. There also, I believe I saw something where there was like an Instagram account that was started for sort of Austin service industry workers sharing experiences that had some negative things to say. So it's sort of been, there's been rumblings, but it feels like it all has come out a lot more clear this week.
Yeah, hard to make anything of it right now. There's so little out there, but obviously it isn't portraying Gabe in the best sense. So you got to think that that is probably for a reason, but yeah, it just kind of definitely puts a bit of a damper on the finale.
Yeah, it really kind of stamps out the fire that was this season. It's hard for me to believe that he would have been fired from this job without absolute just cause.
Yeah, I would agree.
So what happens now? So is this something that could have been found before his casting? Is this something, once they had the season in the can, that they could have figured out? Would they have reshot the season? Would they have just thrown it all in the dumpster like we've seen other seasons go sometimes when stuff like this comes out?
Yeah, I think you at least have to look into it. And if, you know, there is something that can be done, I think it should be done probably, because I don't know. I think it should be.
So it reminds me probably most closely of a recent situation on RuPaul's Drag Race, where it came out after the premiere episode or the second episode that one of the contestants, Sherry Pie, had been harassing men and pretending to be like a casting agent and getting people to send him lewd videos. And they basically edited Sherry Pie out of the season. Now, they said that Sherry Pie would not appear at the finale, and the finale is recorded much later than the actual season. That's not really the case here. So should they have reshot the finale?
I don't know. I also think, yeah, I've been thinking of other situations that have been sort of like this on TV, thinking of The Challenge, which has edited Dee out basically completely, which made the episode where she went home make no sense, but it still happened. They also edited Eddie out completely of the first episode he was on and then removed him by production. I also think of The Challenge season 30, where Camilla did all her stuff and then won the season. And there was incidents with her while filming a different show between the season ending filming and the finale, where she wasn't at the finale. So Gabe wasn't on the Watch What Happens Live after show. I feel like we won't see him pushed forward by production moving forward. I don't think we'll see him back
so
in
now
the show and anything.
That makes me think of something. And when we were watching the finale, when they're going through the prize rundown, Ethan said to me, oh, do they not do the Denver like food and wine show anymore? Is that not one of the prizes anymore? And I was like, oh, like I thought it was. Like, do you think they took that prize out of the contract? Has that not been said all season and I'm just missing that?
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
I guess that would be a clever bit of editing. It's, I mean, hard to edit out the winner, right? I think if he wasn't the winner, maybe that would have been the way they would have gone if they, you know, knew everything they could in time. But yeah, just unfortunate that it's the winner and it just kind of makes all that difficult.
Yeah, I think of the prizes that are awarded to the winner, it is most likely that food and wine, like of the ones that they could potentially take away, the sort of food and wine stuff that involves another party putting him forward on a platform makes the most sense. Like there was, I can't remember what show it was, but there was someone who got, there was one, it was Victoria Fuller on The Bachelor, and she did the date with the photo shoot, and she was supposed to get on the cover of the magazine.
Right, yeah.
And then she had the White Lives Matter fish t-shirt scandal, and she did not end up on the cover of the magazine. So I feel like this is a situation where another brand is involved in particular, where that brand sort of can have some say.
Yeah, good call. And if you are that brand, I think you're probably right to kind of separate yourself from that instead of, you know,
affiliating
with that.
I'm sure there's something in the contract saying, like, if they don't represent our brand the way we want, like, I'm sure we can cut that out.
Yeah, my mind kind of just went to that.
That clause is in there now.
Yeah. My mind kind of just went to that. Maybe that event wasn't happening because of the pandemic.
But, yeah.
You know, maybe it is. And I never did look that up.
I'm not sure either. It's just something that kind of popped into my little Nagaruni. So this puts a damper on what I felt like was a really fantastic season. There was a lot of great characters. There was some really great winner potentials. So it does suck that Gabe won. And now this season is going to be looked at very differently. And I hope that this really starts kind of a renaissance in the restaurant industry of how employees are treated and how a lot of the times the people in those positions aren't willing to speak up about what they're facing because they are low wage employees. They might not have many other options. If it's the executive chef, like he could get you fired. Like you could find a million servers, but it's hard to find another executive chef to fulfill the vision of what you want. It's just a really unfortunate situation all around.
Yeah. One of the details that sort of has come out about this was he was in what he says is a consensual relationship with an employee. And then when he returned from filming, he ended that relationship, but also cut that employee's hours. So there's a power dynamic that's bad there.
Yeah. That's bad. Also, he's married, so like also not great there too. Yeah, we are very much standing with the victims in this situation. We I really hope the restaurant industry can start changing. It's just they've been through such a tough thing in general in the last year and a half. Hopefully there's a lot of shifts that are going to be made. Mm-hmm. So that being said, let's talk about the finale. As the finale, we have three people going to the finale. Emily, how did you feel about the non-elimination last week?
I was fine with it. I was excited to see all three cook their final meal. I sort of felt with Dawn, sort of similar to how I felt with Stephanie in the last season, where it was like, I just want her to get like the personal win for herself. I want her to get all the dishes out and really just show off her best. Didn't exactly happen, which was heartbreaking. But I was okay with it being a final three. I think if someone did terribly last week, I'm pretty sure they were open that they could have sent someone home, but no one did enough, and I was fine with that.
Mm-hmm. Ethan, what do you think?
Yep, I like the final three. I think the more the merrier, especially at the time. I would like to point out, too, that I did not know anything about Gabe real quick, I'd like to say, before this. So I was very excited to see, like, the three of them, because at the time, you know, I really liked all three. But I was excited to see just three cook. I think it's just less likely for it to be an obvious winner. You know, if it was just two of them and Dawn had messed up that first plate, I kind of wonder, you know, if it would have been exciting.
Yeah, I also think that they're like three like completely different chefs with really dynamic points of view. So it was great to see like three styles of meals that I feel like we really haven't seen before in a Top Chef finale. I think I probably was most excited about what Shota was doing. I've just been really enthralled by him all season. He's just, his style has not been showcased on Top Chef very often, or on really any American cooking shows, I feel like. And I just love what he's doing. So on day one, they got 6 hours to prep and cook. And on day two, 3 hours before service begins. I thought this was a lot of time.
Mm-hmm. Seemed like a lot of time. I think at the time, Haley, we had even said to each other, like, could it almost be too much time? You know, you start to think like, I can do that later. I can do that later. And eventually that can catch up.
Yeah, it also felt like they had an entire day to shop and they had sort of wide access to places, which I think is really exciting for Top Chef to see them going to the Mexican supermarkets and the Asian supermarkets and really having access to sort of whatever ingredient the chefs want, as well as all the farm. They went to so many farms, it felt like. Great.
Yes, I really love that aspect of it. I always find it interesting. Ethan had asked me, like, do you go into the series knowing what your finale meal is going to be, or is it like on the fly, kind of what you've learned throughout the season?
Yeah, I always wonder that. Emily, what do you think you would do?
I don't know. Sometimes there's more of a break between filming. At least they used to have such a bigger break that like people would come back with completely different hair. There
was
three seasons in a row where someone showed up with a mohawk. It was incredible.
That's awesome.
Yes. And they would like spend time really developing and planning. And I think what we've seen, and then even like with All Stars 2, they went to Italy. It was more of a trip. And I think it was more of a transplant to like get them in the finale mindset that I think, while the Oregon coast is beautiful, it wasn't necessarily the same thing. But I do think they all came in with a dessert plan. I am 100% certain that they all had a dessert ready to go. I think if that's the one thing you have to sort of pre-plan. And I think the judges said that was their most successful course, which I think makes sense given, at least my guess is, if you have time to think of something, you're trying to figure out that last course.
I think that's an excellent point. And you do hear a lot that the top chefs come in. I remember the really tall guy with glasses came into Top Chef Kentucky being like, my wife's a pastry chef. I came in with one dessert and that's it. And now I have to do it because this is a dessert challenge. And I feel like that's probably the case with a lot of these chefs.
What would you do, Haley?
Would
you already know the, no, not the food. I don't care about that. Just like, what would you do? Would you already know what you want to cook, or would you let it be open to, you know, what you learn, the techniques and stuff along the way?
I think I would probably like have ideas. It's kind of like your survivor jury speech, right? You kind of have in your head what you might say. You kind of have ideas, but then you're influenced by what's around you. Because, like, you know, you do the season in California and then you go to Italy. You do the season in Kentucky and you go to, where do they go?
They went, did they go to somewhere in Asia, I believe, right?
Yeah. Let me see.
Nothing like some Kentucky barbecue in the heart of Asia.
It's true, though. You know, because you do kind of have to be open about where that finale might end up. They went to Macau.
Yes, they went to
Macau. Yeah. So it's just what you're going to be able to find in Macau is very different from what is in Kentucky. But so you do have to be open about what might be available to you wherever you end up.
Yeah, great point. I'm such a planner. I think I would just try to have it already ready to go, and then maybe that would completely backfire and I'd just be stumped.
So they got to draw knives for their partners. I think everyone really got the partner they wanted. What partnership, Emily, were you most excited about?
I think Abe and Maria, I think it was the first time they actually cooked together all season, I believe. That's what I think they said, but I think that was exciting to see them finally partner up. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, all of the partners made perfect sense. I agree. I don't think it would have turned out any differently.
I definitely think like Jamie and Dawn were the most odd couple when it comes to their style, but God, I love Jamie.
I know.
What a thrill she is.
It's always nice to get those chefs back who just barely didn't make it, right?
Yeah, I love seeing them cook, and it just feels like all-stars again. I think that's what's been really fun about this season is just seeing all of our faves. So the first course, Shota made sashimi three ways with mackerel, cured salmon, tuna with soy sauce. This was stunning. I loved it. This is probably what, if I got the choice between three dishes on a menu, this is definitely what I would choose. I think down the line, if I had to choose one menu, it would probably be Shota's.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely the most different, most out there. It was so exciting and so like perfectly done, both aesthetically and mouth-wise.
Mouth-wise. Okay. Yeah, I like Shota's a lot. I think I found myself wanting his dishes the most.
Yes, I also was just rooting for him like crazy. I loved him all season, so.
Yeah, who didn't? Shota was the best. He just had such a good story, and he was so, it just had one of those stories that you root for.
Yeah, he was like engaging. He was very engaging where like Gabe was a great chef, but I was never super drawn into his story because it always felt like his hand, like he kind of had his hand out. Like he didn't want anyone to get to, I don't know. I wasn't as engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Where like Don, I found just to be absolutely gripping.
Yes. And stressful.
Stressful. And very stressful. Speaking of Don,
not always gripping for the right reason.
Don made lamb tartare with tomato and cherry salad, beef tendon puff, and rice honey bread. She didn't get a couple components on a couple of the dishes. Some were missing the bread, and some were missing the tendon puff. What the hell happened?
Just a lot going on that dish. That's a lot for your first dish.
Yeah.
It was so much going on. And I feel like Dawn, when she decided on her menu to deviate from that in any way, would have been like failure to her. I feel like, mm-hmm. like she should have cut the bread. She should have cut the bread. She was doing the bread that morning. She also had to do the bread for the dessert. And it seemed like that extra component and that extra time took a lot of stuff away where if she didn't have it, the dish would have been fine anyway. And I don't know if I could see her willing to not try and accomplish everything mm-hmm. she set out and instead scale it back.
Yeah, like I really, it does feel like of a couple very separate elements. Like even her plating, it was like 1, 2, 3, and it wasn't all together. Yeah. She could have easily just left off one of the components on every dish and not said anything, and it would have been fine. It was like devastating to see her do this. I felt like in that moment, I knew she lost. She knew she lost. Because I just don't think, as much as the judges look at that particular meal, it's hard to receive something not complete after getting a bunch of non-complete dishes throughout the season and be like, you still can win here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just happened too many times that by the time you get to the finale, really, it's just can't have that.
Yeah. It sort of, it came up briefly on the Watch What Happens Live after. So the three main judges were there and they were asked a little bit about that. And they were like, going into it, Dawn totally had a shot to sort of pass it. Like, they sort of saw Gabe and Shota as the standouts, but Dawn totally could have wowed them. But once that happened, it's really hard to come back from that.
Yeah, I would agree. And you even saw the night before when the final three were dining with the All-Stars in that fun little meal. One of them even pulled Dawn aside and said, like, let's scale it back. Let's not do too much. And I think you're totally right, Emily. I think once she had her heart set on what she was going to do, there was no changing her mind.
Yeah, Nina pulled her aside at the fun dinner, which, Emily, you're the best. You sent me the dishes that they had at this fun dinner. Richard made pilo beef with bone marrow. Melissa made Shanghainese sea bass with soy caramel glaze. Gregory made duck curry. Dale made Dungeness crab rice. Also, there was a giant crab boil there.
Yeah.
What a thrill. Which one are you grabbing?
I think Gregory's duck curry. Also, Dale's crab rice looked amazing.
I want a crab boil. I always want a crab boil.
Yes.
I want to live my life in a crab boil lane.
I think I'm taking seconds of the curry and quite a bit of that bone marrow on the crab boil.
Yeah, it looked amazing. The vibes and that night just seemed so great. I think it really highlighted the why having the All-Stars as the judges was so great. If they were there, they could give advice, but it also was very much like welcome to, like, you are one of our peers now going forward.
I just so wish Dawn had listened to Nina, or like had that like Nina on her shoulder to be like, just stop worrying about the spread, stop worrying about whatever this is, and just do what you have and make sure it's perfect. It's such a shame because I think Dawn's dishes were really cool and I loved her style and I think she's fantastic. It's just such a shame that she just kept letting herself down and she didn't figure out a way to overcome that weakness of not being able to get everything on the plate. Like, she did it 5 times. Like, I'm worried that's going to be her legacy on Top Chef.
Yeah, it's hard. Would you want to see her back for an All-Star season?
Yeah, I would. I'd love to see her and I'd love to see Maria, maybe even like Shota and Sarah. Like, there's a lot of great people in this cast that I'd love to see again. But I think Dawn, like give me Top Chef Unfinished Business.
Yeah. It's hard. I feel like maybe it's just not the right format for her, but it's just heartbreaking.
Yeah, I hope that if she does come back, she really is able to kind of get over that little, you know, speed hump, or I think she did long jump, like the, what's it called? The course when you long jump?
Yeah, she was a long jumper. She was a long jumper, but are you thinking of a hurdle?
Yeah, but like the long jump version of a hurdle, which is the sand. Is it just a sand pit?
It's a sand pit. I mean, there's also a steeplechase where the hurdles are one long hurdle, and then you also have one that goes into water.
No, I just
nice. Haley, have you been watching the track and field trials?
Not yet.
Clearly not. We watched the gymnastics, but not the track and field.
Listen, I'm in it for the gymnastics. I do have to catch up before I do my biannual Olympics podcast.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Gabe made a fried cochinita pibil head cheese with habanero ash emulsion, avocado mousse, and kumquat sauce. It looked good.
It looked good. It was weird at first glance for me. I guess a little squeamish when I see the pig head there, but I thought it really came together and looked delicious.
Yeah, the judges' notes were very high on the sauce work, which I think was sort of the biggest consistency throughout his menu. Tom didn't like the breading on the head cheese, so there's a little negative there, but they love the sauce.
I feel like it's one of those things where they just like had to find something to maybe like mark down Gabe on.
I think it's pretty obvious that Gabe should just have a sauce. Like that's every dish is just like
sauce city.
Really, the best part, this mole, if you will, is just delicious. And clearly, he just needs to bottle some of those up.
Yeah, that business might not be as
from his cave.
His cave. as feasible now as it was 1.5 weeks ago. The second course showed a main sautéed water spinach, sautéed burdock root with white miso burdock root puree. With octopus karage. Do you think he should have gone heavier on the octopus? He kind of halfway through, he was like, I'm going to make this a vegetable forward dish. This might have been kind of where he started to falter in the judges' minds, where like Gabe started to take the race, if you will. Mm-hmm. Because they felt it was more of a side dish than a course.
Mm-hmm. I think part of them, like, versus like old seasons of Top Chef, they would each of the finalists would do a menu and like a separate restaurant. Like they would go to like a resort somewhere and they would take over one of the restaurants on the resort. And it would be sort of one full start to finish experience at each, and then you'd switch. And then in recent seasons, they've been doing sort of all three courses from each person at once, which I think leads to more of this sort of comparison. So when you get to like very seafood, more integrated dishes compared to the one that feels more like a side dish, it's just going to feel more like a side dish.
That makes total sense.
Yeah, I think that's a really good read on it. Yeah, they didn't seem thrilled by it. I think they called it oily. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I found that when we got to judges' table and Melissa was actually telling Shota about it, it sounded like she liked it a lot more then. She was just like, oh, it's really like bright and everything. And I love that you had the courage to do a vegetable dish. But anytime he wasn't around, they were like, that was just a side dish.
Dom made green gumbo with seafood and fermented rice fritter. For me, this was, I thought, the coolest looking dish of the course. I loved the big whole seafood in the green gumbo. They said that the rice fritter was the best thing on that plate. The judges actually didn't love like the big seafood. They felt it was like a little clunky in the dish.
Yeah, I don't know. I really wanted to try that rice fritter. It looks so good.
Ethan, are you out because there's seafood involved? This whole course for you is like, oh, I'm just going to take a pass on this one. I'm going to head out to the bathroom while you guys eat.
Yeah, I guess like the green gumbo, just it's not like the most visually appealing at first glance kind of thing. It sounds like it's in the Dr. Seuss book or something. But this one wasn't for me.
I don't know if I've seen a green gumbo like that.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. They called back Leah Chase, who has been discussed on the show several times before, which was always nice.
Mm-hmm. Gabe made a scallop aguachile with fermented pineapple and roasted scallop oil. Do sign me up for the fermented pineapple. Do not sign me up for the anaphylaxis I will face if presented with a scallop dish.
Haley, I will eat your seconds. This looks amazing.
So jealous.
Oh my God.
Yeah, even though I'm not big into seafood, I think this was maybe my favorite dish of the night. I just thought it was so interesting and creative and using the kombucha like that. And he seemed like he was being really precise, like dropping things into it. To me, it was just a really neat dish that really came together. And I think the judges really liked it too.
In the third course, Shota made beef tongue curry with braised turnips and fuku jinzuke pickles. The way he cooked this, everyone else was nervous. He like did a cook on it and then left it in the stove that was off overnight to really tenderize it. I think it came out exactly how he wanted it to. This dish was inspired by his mom. But I think this was kind of, the judges loved the flavors, but they didn't love that it felt like a quote unquote staff meal, just kind of like what you throw together, at the end of a shift just to have something to eat, whatever's left. I don't know if I totally agree with that, but again, I didn't eat it, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Haley, did this... So Shota's whole thing of like, I've cooked too refined, I need to cook food from the heart. Did it remind you a little bit of Michael Voltaggio's like, I'm a robot panic?
I didn't even think of that. Oh my God, that's too funny. Where he made lasagna.
Yeah, so as a way to prove that he has feelings and emotions and a heart.
That's hilarious.
So I sort of was thinking of that, but it was interesting in that Shota sort of came to that decision by himself. It sort of had the feel of, I feel like we've had times where people on the show have been like, oh, I need to elevate my cuisine. And it's like, no, oh, you're fine. You're fine. They like your cuisine as it is. And this sort of felt the similar. He was like, oh, now I got to cook from the heart. And it's like, no one ever said that. Everyone really loves your food. Mm-hmm. You don't need to do that.
Yeah, we've never heard that once because he has so much personality. And the personality comes out in his food is just, yeah, it's not like, I don't know. I guess it's his version of soulful. He doesn't need to like make it other people's version of soulful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was really good at doing those refined dishes. And, you know, maybe his appetizer was his most refined and maybe his most successful. But he did say at the beginning that he didn't want anything overly complicated, that he could make sure that he finished each dish. Maybe that was just playing it a bit too safe.
He called it like cozy coursing.
That's why we love Shota.
John made braised beef cheek with black eyed peas and butter turnips. The judges just absolutely raved about this one. This was probably their favorite main course, easily.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, do you think if Dawn didn't leave off the other pieces on her dish that this could have bumped her up?
Yeah, I mean, when they were doing the sort of a head-to-head at the end, they gave this one to her, and I think it could have maybe pushed her over the edge, but I also just think she was pretty frazzled from that first one.
Yeah,
she did an okay job of bouncing back, but I think she was a little bit frazzled.
Yeah, I do think she recovered as well as anyone could like hope for. I feel like in that scenario, I would just be like, I'm done. Like, what's the point? I know I'm so out. Like, I messed up so badly. I'm embarrassed. So, but Dawn was, she really was like, okay, let's put our big girl shoes on and let's get this going.
Can I just say before you pronounce the next dish that I just assumed somebody on here would be doing a better job of pronouncing all of the dishes than it just being you wigging it?
How dare you?
I just assumed that somebody would be on here that did that one. Like,
first of all, I tried very hard. Second of all, I've been doing this for years now. How do you not know that? Do you not listen to the Top Chef podcast?
I guess not.
Ethan G. Fahey.
Yeah, sometimes I sit outside your door and listen.
No, you don't. This is a lie. You put earplugs. You put earplugs in and you call it a day. I cannot believe you've never listened to a single episode of the Top Chef for Hap Up. Better be subscribed to in your podcast feed at least.
I will.
Yeah, you will.
Sorry, continue.
Emily, are my pronunciations really that bad? I try hard.
No.
Thank you.
You do. I know this because I listened to the pod.
Yeah, Emily's a good friend.
I text it as I am listening.
Yeah, she texts me during the episode and then she texts me while she's listening to the podcast after.
Yeah, sorry.
I could kick you out right now of the podcast, not out of the house. I need you to pay the mortgage with me. I'm thrown off. Gabe made short rib with chichilo, negro mole, mushrooms, and pickled persimmons. I thought this sounded fantastic. Plating, I needed more color. I needed more than that, just one green leaf. I wanted some sort of like radish or pickled onion or something just to like really brighten it, because it was just kind of like a dark and brown plate.
Yes, I think, yeah, you're nailing it right on the head of that sort of, I think something, the pickled persimmons I didn't see very much of, and I think would have been nice. This, I would have loved to try it. I'm not a big mushroom person, so then when they're talking about how burnt the mushrooms were, wasn't super interested in it, but like, I would, if someone else at the table had ordered it, I would be sneaking bites of it quite a bit.
Yeah, I'd love a short rib. I just don't love a heavy burnt flavor. So when Tom was like, oh, the mushrooms were burnt, I was like, ugh.
I like mushrooms and burnt. Well, I was right there.
You love a strong flavor.
Yeah.
I thought this was, I would probably have ordered Gabe. So in all honesty, like presented with those three things, I love a short rib. Holy.
And I love like that mole needed color, but it looked just so rich and delicious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said there was like 20 ingredients in it, and it seemed like he was making 5 different moles at first and then was going to combine them into one giant mole.
One mother mole.
Yes.
In the fourth course, Gabe made candied delicata squash with Cafe Mexicano ice cream. Now I'm like embarrassed of the way...
I'm sorry, I should have waited until...
After probably the podcast,
never realistically.
Me. You know, yeah. I'm delicate. I'm delicata. I love the idea of like a vegetable dessert. I'm not gonna lie.
Yes. No, it looked amazing. It just came out, and the color was so gorgeous. It was so shiny for a piece of vegetable.
I thought it looked great, yeah.
Unless you're like pouring olive oil on the vegetable, it doesn't really have that shine. Mexicano ice cream, like, do sign me up for that. Honestly, all three of these desserts, if they were in front of me, I would not ever stop eating them.
They all looked amazing. This was definitely the course when I wanted all of it, and I wanted multiple. I wanted to be like Dale and just ask for a second of probably all of it.
And Don's like, guys, you know I could only get 12 on the plate, right? Like, that's all I could do. Don made yam bread pudding with butter pecan anglaise with purple yam and apple compote. Again, I love using vegetables in dessert. What a great way to eat vegetables and feel good about yourself. I'm not normally like a big bread pudding fan, but sometimes I'll see it on TV and I'm like, yes, sign me up for that. And a butter pecan anglaise, like, ooh, that sounds nice.
Yeah, Tiffany Derry, who showed up for the finale alone, love her, gave it a hallelujah.
It looked so good. I'm like angry that she's only in the finale. And I know that she shows up on some of the Top Chef amateurs, so that's probably like where we got her. But like, I'm mad they kept her from us for so long.
Yes. In my big Top Chef rewatch, it was very clear on DC that she was the star from that season. And it's always good to see her on my screen again. Love her.
And when she appeared, I genuinely squealed. Shota made Hoji tea cheesecake with cedar smoked gelato. Now, this would be my favorite. I love cheesecake. I love the way he used tea in it to really kind of like balance out the heavy sweetness of a cheesecake. I thought all of these desserts were really interestingly balanced, which... I feel like they do a good job at in Top Chef because they're not pastry chefs. They don't tend to go super sweet. I love the idea of the cedar smoked gelato. Like, what is that like?
Yeah, probably very rich and flavorful. And I thought that too. I was just like,
want to try that.
Yeah, like, does it taste like burnt, do you think? Like, would it be...
I don't know.
I don't know. Ethan, you don't like particularly super sweet desserts.
No, so I don't.
I feel like this would be really up your alley.
Yeah, and Gabe's vegetable I thought looked good since I don't like overly sweet things. I would have a tough time choosing between these three.
Yeah, I would probably order Shota's. I still can't get over how gorgeous it looked, the little fig that was on the thing. It just sounded so interesting. And the hoji tea being like sort of a different take of green tea than I've ever really tried. I absolutely wanted to try this.
And I love that it was like in a strip. It was just so beautiful. I thought this whole menu by everyone was just absolutely stunning. But to me, after the meal was done, it felt very obvious that Gabe had it in the bag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. Just too many little things by Shota and kind of one big thing by Don. And
yeah.
I think it was Gabe's, yeah.
It really felt like any qualms they had with his meal were like nitpicking to say something. Mm-hmm. But that's it. That's the season. That's the meal. Gabe won. It feels like a different win now. And that's just sometimes what you get when you have a reality TV and you bring people on who are complicated and not always great people. Is this something that could have even come out in casting? Like, I know we give The Bachelor production a lot of S for casting, like, very obvious, like, racist or, like, people with, like, harassment on their criminal records. So it's hard to say what they could have done in the pre-show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is just a really unfortunate ending, I think, especially on a season where there were so many beautiful characters and so many great stories. It's just an unfortunate way to end it.
Yeah, it was such a positive to have Top Chef come back. It was such a positive just to hear that they were filming again back when it happened, because they started filming early in the pandemic, mm-hmm. where it almost felt like we were never going to get a real new TV show again. And just hearing that they were filming, it was so exciting. And seeing all these people on our screen, I think the way they hyped up the season of being able to cast all these people that they couldn't cast before, because it was hard to take executive chefs away from running a restaurant. There was so much momentum that it's really sad that it sort of ended in this sort of cloudy way where it feels like we're all trying to, like, or at least the Bravo Top Chef folks are trying to really just like sprint forward into Top Chef amateurs and not mm-hmm. have you sort of dwell on this.
Yeah, which sucks, because it really was such like a wonderful season. I absolutely adored bringing in the other like the past Top Chefs. I think that really added something fantastic to the season. I think the diversity that they achieved in this season when it comes to casting was just absolutely phenomenal. I think the characters we had were great. So it's very disappointing. It sucks. Our thoughts are with the people who are affected by having to watch the show and know that this is the case. But hopefully that this is something they can learn from and have steps to avoid in the future. Emily, any hot goss from the Watch What Happens Live episode?
Let's see. I took notes.
Both you and Ethan took notes for this podcast. What angels?
Let's see. Who were they most surprised to make it as far as they did? All of the judges said Jamie. Who they would hire as a personal chef. Padma said Dawn. Gail said Maria. Mostly to just have Maria's personality around. Yeah. Overall best plating went to Byron, which sort of surprised me.
This surprised me.
I feel like we saw nothing really of Byron.
Yeah. When asked who did the most innovative food, Tom kind of just said that nothing was that innovative and that they all were just sort of cooking their cuisines very, very well, but no one was doing anything like, I don't know, nothing like back in the early days where it was like Richard Blaise brought out molecular gastronomy and everyone act like it was the most, they had never seen it before. Let's see. Oh, and then they did some asking about, like, it was one of those things where Andy Cohen asked all these, like, what was your least tasty dish ever? Who had the hardest time taking criticism? What were, like, all these things mm-hmm. of negative. And they just kept repeatedly talking about how bad season two was. Oh. So they were like, the three worst dishes they ever had. One was a lawn. One was something from Sam Talbot. Another was from Vegas. Who had the hardest time taking criticism? Elia. So it really worked.
Oh, yeah. Tom hated Elia.
Oh, yeah. There was one fun moment where they all had to agree or disagree on a thing that Andy Cohen would read. And he basically asked if they thought that Heather from Top Chef Texas was the worst villain. And none of the judges could remember who she was.
Oh, I feel like they very much try and, you know what? That's actually a good comparison is Top Chef Texas, because that's a very much forgotten season. But the cast was horrific on that one. And the winner also turned out to be a shit person from Texas. Yeah, and they very much swept that season under the rug and never talk about it fondly. So that we might be
the key. Ed back.
Oh, God, I love Ed so much.
Yes. Yeah, I think when I think of how Top Chef has handled sort of controversies like this in the past, like the Paul thing, the Nick Elmy win definitely isn't the same at all, but there is a little of, we don't see him brought forward as much. I mean, we still, I think it was Eddie worked with him, and so they talked about Nick on the show, but they still push forward Nina a lot more. Mm-hmm. So you see sort of the decisions that the show makes and who they spotlight. And I think moving forward, we'll definitely see show.
Yeah, it seems to be good. Doesn't mean that. Yeah, I totally agree. Just because you win doesn't mean you're the superstar of the season.
Yeah.
It's often more personality based. Overall, I did enjoy the season. It was a thrill to be able to watch it. Where do you think we're going next? I would love to see. I feel like Portland is a location we've talked about for a long time. A lot of the seasons or locations we've mentioned have been picked up, should we say. I want to see Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's wild that we haven't seen Philly yet.
I think that would be a really fun location. It's pretty central. Pennsylvania's underrated. I'm just going to say that right now. Pennsylvania's an underrated state.
Haley, hear me out. Hershey Park
challenge. Oh, yes. A dream. Emily, see, you're writing the show for the magical elves. Are you listening?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes. I'm in. I'm very in. We're doing this. I'm in. But I can't really think of, like, anywhere else that we haven't hit that we're missing.
I think they could probably do something in the Midwest again. I don't know where that would be. I don't know if it would be somewhere like Detroit, Minneapolis.
St. Louis.
Yeah. I think we had such a string of time when we were in the South. I think it'd be nice to see somewhere else. We could do Top Chef Other Portland, where it's Top Chef Maine.
Go see dogs.
Yes.
I'm not really sure where they're gonna go next. Do you think they go back to the coast? Like, do you think we'd see like a Top Chef Fort Lauderdale or something? Top Chef Orlando.
Full redo of Top Chef Miami.
Yeah. Oh God, where else could they even go? I mean, there's a ton of places. Why?
I clearly don't know enough about this, but I can just start naming cities if you want.
Sure, that'd be great.
That doesn't seem like a good podcasting.
You'd be surprised what passes for good podcasing when I'm involved.
Are there states they haven't been to? Obviously, right? Have they ever gone to like Alaska or something?
They did on Seattle.
Yeah,
they did on Seattle for the finale.
Yeah,
let's go somewhere weird. Yeah, they're not filming anything yet, are they?
No, probably not till the fall.
Okay,
they've been filming in the fall the last couple seasons. Cooler for them.
Yeah, fair.
I could see them like returning to California again, just to something easy, but just like do San Francisco part de.
Yeah.
Or part trois, I can't remember.
Yeah, I think the first season wasn't in San Francisco, maybe.
Yeah, but yeah. I don't know if they've ever really gone back except in Top Chef California.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
they wait.
What?
Top Chef Nima Colin.
Stop. Shell room. This is the shell room challenge. You have to do a quick fire in the shell room.
Yes.
They could do a day if they went to Philadelphia at Nima Colin.
Yes. There we go. Just have Top Chef follow where the Bachelor is. Top Chef New Mexico.
I don't hate it. I don't hate
Death
it.
Death Valley challenge.
Top Chef Deserts.
Yeah.
Instead of Top Chef Desserts. I laughed way too hard at my own joke on that one. That is funny to me. Ooh, is there any places you'd like to see them go back to? I could see Chicago again.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
I could see Chicago. I think a Miami redo would be good. Mm-hmm. That season, when I did my big rewatch, that one was kind of rough. It was a lot of catering parties and shellfish and seafood, and it just didn't feel exciting in a way that I think it could be if they did it again.
How did Top Chef make it past seasons 2 and 3 back-to-back?
It truly is so hard to think through. I mean, the fact that they made it to season 3 after season 2 is also just wild.
Yeah, once they hit season 4, that's really where they kind of hit their stride. Like, season 4 was fantastic. It's just, wow, 2 and 3 were roof.
Here's a summer travel tip. Pack just one pair of shoes that goes with every outfit and occasion, like the versatile, perfectly packable tree shoes from Allbirds. Made to look great and feel even better, they're the ideal choice for vacations, staycations, and every road trip in between. For an everyday, go-anywhere breathable sneaker, snag a pair of tree runners. If sporty's your style, you'll love the responsive foam and extra grip of the Tree Dashers too. And of course, you can't go wrong with the classic low-top look of the Tree Pipers. The best part is, they're all crafted with lightweight, breathable eucalyptus fiber that takes comfy to the next level. So you'll be stepping out in style and comfort wherever you go. Your summer adventures are just getting started, so you need shoes that can handle anything. That's why Allbirds has you covered. Step into summer travel with the perfect travel shoes from Allbirds. Find your pair of Tree Dashers, Runners, Pipers, and more at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Anything else about this season? What do you got?
One other thing to mention during the Watch What Happens Live was the judges were asked if Shota and Sarah should date.
Yes.
That's Haley's dream.
Yes. Emily introduced me to the dream.
Oh.
I was deep diving on Instagrams to figure out relationship statuses and whether this was happening and Instagram comments.
And?
Gail and Tom agree that they should. Padma disagrees.
What's your problem, Padma?
Why? Does she have any backup on that? What, like,
it was a very quick hold up a sign that they printed out on their home printer, clearly, because Tom's was a different color, because he clearly was out of the like red colored ink. It was incredible.
I forgot they probably would have done it all from home, because last time they all did it in studio, Andy Cohen got COVID one day later. Do you remember that?
Yes, I had forgotten, but yes.
Yeah, and everyone was tweeting Padma like, did you get COVID from Andy Cohen? She's like, no. What a season. I did enjoy this season. It sucks that it has to be like this. I hope we do more Top Chef judges in the future. Mm-hmm. That's really exciting. I think it made for a great TV show, because it's not even, it's just like we're bringing the contestants back, like they very much had great things to say, excellent feedback, etc. So Emily,
I love that portion of it, the bringing the All-Stars back. Again, I'm pretty new, so I don't have a huge knowledge otherwise, but I love that. That was like my favorite part. I thought for how diverse this cast was, it was so awesome for them to serve their food to like such diverse judges too.
Yeah.
Because there was just so many different palettes and styles and everything in that, you know, judges table, that it just added so much to, you know, the diversity of this cast and them being able to showcase their food. We saw Shota make the beef tongue in this episode, and Ed Lee. He was like emotional about it, right?
Yeah,
and that's just so cool. It's it was just such a neat part of it all, I thought.
Yeah, I really hope they keep the All-Star judges. I also love the selection of All-Stars that it was. I love that it wasn't just the winners. I love mm-hmm. that we saw Ed Lee, who didn't make like the final four, and he was on the terrible Texas season, and he was still there and still felt like he made an impact.
His book, Buttermilk Graffiti, if you haven't read it, it is one of my favorite books. It was so brilliant. If you love reading about food writing and you love like a travel book, like it's a, or if you love Americana, like it's a fantastic book.
Yeah. I love to see Dale Talde, who that was in my big Top Chef rewatch. His arc from being this sort of hothead in Chicago that was kind of a douchebag and kind of sucked, to then coming back like very shortly after in All-Stars as like the most likable male on that cast.
I mean, that wasn't hard.
Exactly. True. But it was such a character shift. And then he was cooking really exciting food, and to see him come back so much later. And just, I know some people weren't a fan of his judging. I loved to see him back. I loved him ordering seconds of ice cream. So seeing the show really bring in faces that we haven't seen in a while and faces that were both the ones we were really excited to see again. Like, we always see Brooke. I love her. Happy to see her. Friend of the pod. Best friend of the pod. But it also was really nice to just see some of those older faces that we might not always see and didn't really expect.
Yeah, it was really cool to see them. I loved cycling through people. Ethan, who was your favorite guest judge?
I did actually like, funny that you say not a lot of people, well, some people didn't like Dale's critique, because I thought it was awesome. I thought he was very passionate about it. He had no problem calling out Don for leaving stuff off the plate. He was irate about it, and it was just so funny and cool. I love Gregory. You know, like when he just has that little like grin on his face when you look over at him, you're like, he is enjoying that a lot. So I love like him. Yeah, it was there was a lot of good ones, actually. The selection was really good.
Emily, who is your favorite?
I think I gotta go with it was so nice to see Melissa again. I think after the journey that was watching her win All-Stars 2, just seeing her back on my screen was so exciting. Also, like getting Melissa and Kristen Kish just like in the frame together at the same time broke my brain. That was incredible.
I love Melissa so much. I think she has to be my favorite. God, I love her so much. It's not fair. It's not fair. I love the way she talks about food. I love the way she approaches critiques, which is like very fair and reasonable, mm-hmm. and like she can back up what she's saying. I think she's very smart. I think she's creative. I think she's compassionate. She's just a really wonderful judge. And honestly, if they made her a permanent fourth judge, I would be thrilled.
Yeah, I think too, thinking of her Top Chef journey of going from her first season where she seemed so not fully confident and realized, and then coming back.
She wasn't even like a part of that season.
Yeah, she was completely invisible, and I think she made it to maybe the final four.
Final three, even, I think.
Final three, even, but it didn't feel like she was there, and then she comes back, and it's just such a force. And to have someone who knows sort of both sides of the experience that way, I think is really great.
I was just really excited by everyone they were bringing back. Every week, I was just like, oh, like, I'm so excited to see this person. I can't wait. But it was, I hope they keep doing this. I hope they do it. Emily, every week we talk about what we've been making. What have you been making?
Yeah, I haven't been making too much. I do a meal kit service. I use Sunbasket, so I've been doing that. And then I ordered I got some poke today. I got some sushi a couple nights ago from a place in Brooklyn where I'm at that is basically in like the back of like a little like grocery store, like bodega. And it's very good. It's called Pine Tree Sushi for any listeners in Brooklyn, but I am a big fan of it. So I've done that. And then next week, I'm very excited for what I will be eating because
tell us.
Yes. So I am going to be visiting, one of my friends out in Vegas. So we have reservations for Jamie's Black Sheep. So I'm very, very, very excited for that.
I can't wait for you to tell me everything about it. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Have you already like cruised the menu and like have an idea, or are you just going into a blind?
Oh, I've completely cruised the menu. My friend is bringing her boyfriend so that we can order more dishes and share more dishes. I'm so excited.
Are you like just always pick, a menu cruiser?
Yes, of course. I'm a big planner. And it's like, you got to figure out your method of attack.
Wait, Emily, you're also a Capricorn, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you and Ethan are very similar in like... Nice. In your planning vibe, because Ethan's like, I can't go to that place. I don't know what their menu is. It's not online. Or like if a menu is online, but the price is not beside it, we will not be attending that establishment.
Ethan, are you at the level of looking up the restaurant or also the location tag on Instagram to get a visual of the food before you order?
I have to see the food because sometimes it doesn't do it justice, especially higher end food. It's like, I don't know what that's going to look like. I need the picture. I'll do anything to find it.
Oh, yes. The places where they just tell you the ingredients and don't tell you anything about how they're prepared.
Yeah. Yeah. Just write like flour, eggs, salt. I'll just figure it out when I get it, I guess. Thanks. No, I'm not about it. I need to know. How else am I going to be in the mood for short rib if I don't already know I'm going to have short rib?
Yeah, Ethan will also like prepare like his eating throughout the day to reflect what he's going to have at the restaurant.
I'm going to say one of the most devastating things that can happen to me is to learn the menu online doesn't match the menu in the restaurant. And that item is no longer available.
That happened to me one time we went to a restaurant because I love like looking at the menus ahead of time is less like planning for me and more like visualizing and like having a great time thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And one time we went to a restaurant and it was really all I wanted was these like fish tacos. And I got there and they're like, no, that the website menu is out of date. Like we don't have those. And I was just like, you got to come back to me. I don't know what I want.
What
and
other I've choice never, do I have but to burn this place down?
Yeah. And I'm never the come back to me person. I always know exactly what I want.
Yes. Yeah. I'm very excited for this trip also because the friend that I'm going with, we plan where we are eating next at the place we are currently eating. So it's very much a food focused friendship.
I love this for you. Where else are you planning on going?
I was trying to think. So we're doing Vegas, and then we're going to Zion. So a coworker recommended a place out there that apparently has spaghetti squash enchiladas that are really good.
Oh,
So that's on the list. Going to hit up also while we're in Zion. There's a Culver's there, which is a Midwest-based fast food chain that does butter burgers and fried cheese curds.
Okay, I love a fried cheese curd.
It's so good. It's I go a lot when I'm visiting family in Wisconsin, so I'm very excited for that. And then I'm going to go to California for several weeks where I will be having a lot of In-N-Out, a lot of California burritos with the French fries inside, and my favorite sandwich ever, which is a spicy chicken melt at a place called Che New in San Diego.
Oh, man, what a trip.
Yeah, I'm mostly just thinking about the food I'm eating there. Really?
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
Yeah, we have a little like a glamping trip coming up soon, and we've just been looking at the restaurants nearby and planning on like what we're going to eat, and it's all we've been thinking about.
What's on the list?
Well, the included is like a dinner at the winery restaurant near the campsite, so we're very excited about that.
Yes, I'll be getting I'll be getting a duck confit pizza there.
Ooh.
Yeah. With I think that's blue cheese and something else on it. Yeah, I already know that. That one's a dungeon.
Yeah, and there's this place called Sandbar on the Beach. It's a small restaurant. And we went there a couple of years ago, and it was just like, we just kind of drove by it, and we're like, I guess there. And the food was so unbelievable, and we were recently looking at the menu, and we're just like, we have to go twice to get everything we want.
That's the best.
So that I'm really looking forward to. Ethan, what have you been making this week? Ethan has taken a lot of the dinner cooking responsibility in our household the last 2 months because my work schedule is just a little wonky in a way that I can't cook dinner, but I'm home for dinner. So you've been taking a lot of that on.
Yep, I don't mind. I don't do anything too crazy when I'm, you know, cooking for us. We made sausage last night. We had pretty good steak tonight.
Really good steak tonight.
Last week was our friend Nathan's birthday, so we made him dairy-free brownies.
Ooh.
And a great potato salad.
Ethan is to the really good at potato salad.
My thing. Yep, that's probably about it.
Yeah, did I make anything this week?
You made a lovely loaf of bread like a week ago.
Yeah, I guess so. And I tried to make potato pancakes that my dad always made, which is like using leftover mashed potatoes. So I had to like call my mom to like ask her how to do it. And they tasted good. They just weren't like as crispy as they should have been. The oil could have been hotter. I'm just always very anxious when it comes to hot oil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you cut up some meat and cheese earlier in the week.
I'm great at charcuterie.
Didn't make it, but you cut it.
That's true. And the market in town is open, so I do like going there every couple of weeks and just getting a couple of fresh veg and fresh fruit. Just like seeing what's in season. Oh, we made a salad. Okay, we made a salad this week. Ooh. Featuring lettuce that we grew. By that, I mean we bought the lettuce plant and it grew bigger than we ate it.
That's a big accomplishment.
We didn't start it, but we made it bigger.
It still grew under your care.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which is not the case for the herbs.
No, and I harvested it in the rain, and it was just the most mountain man moment of my life. Just like, I grew this and I'm picking it in the rain.
Yeah, we should grow potatoes next.
Potatoes? Okay.
We're attempting what is in our garden. Green beans.
Yep.
Lettuce.
Yep. Peppers.
Peppers.
One hot variety and one sweet variety.
Yeah, and we saw one today that was like starting to grow and we were really excited. The green beans, I don't know. Like, when do we even harvest green beans? Like, when do green beans? Well, I bought some at the market this week, so probably this should be the season. When do green beans grow?
A couple of farmers here.
Just one Brooklyn gal and a couple of kids with a with a raised planter bed. Yeah, I think green beans are always in season. Just kidding. Anyway, I don't know. Anything else? Emily, where can people find you on the internet if you want them to find you on the internet?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at _Shem. That's _SCHEM. I also occasionally show up on some friends of mine have a hockey podcast. It's called A Couple of Goons, and that's really fun, especially as we hit the Stanley Cup final. Yeah.
I'm like starting to realize that you guys could be best friends without me. And I don't feel good about it.
Yeah.
I feel like you guys are going to cut me out of this and just talk about all the things you like without me.
That sounds great. I made a note of the podcast name. I'm in.
Amazing.
I'm a sour Toronto Maple Leafs fan though, so I'll wait till next season.
Yes.
Where else can people find you? I cut you off rudely.
That's it.
All right. Ethan, do you want people to follow you?
I usually just tell people that if they follow you, they will see plenty of me.
Yeah, I think that's fair. So if you want to follow me at hstrung on Twitter and at hstrung _ on Twitter and Instagram. Also my book account at the Strung Library. Bachelor podcast. Woo, swing happening. And then I also joined Kirsten McInnes and Puya and Brian to talk about Too Hot to Handle last week. What a cluster F, and it was so fun.
I love it. It was great. God.
Where's Did you enjoy the season of Too Hot to Handle, Emily?
I enjoyed it better than the first season I watched in the pandemic in one day, and then I got mad at myself for spending a day watching it. I was that angry about it, but this was definitely a lot better. But it's still, I think I have frustrations with the concept as a whole, but it was good. I thought it was a better cast. I'm excited for Love Island to start up and all of that.
Ethan, are you going to watch Love Island?
Maybe.
Ethan, are you going to let me watch Big Brother?
No, we're not watching Big Brother.
Please, it looks good. I really want to watch it this season.
We start Big Brother. I become emotionally invested. And then you just cut it out of my life. And you're like, we're not watching that.
Well, it's,
it's on too much.
I know, but now I don't work at night. So it's easier to keep up on it.
Yeah, no, okay, so you keep up on it, but we don't watch it. And then I'm just like, I wonder what ended up happening. And you're like, oh, this person won this challenge, and then they were the head of household, and you know everything still because you're so plugged in. And I just, I don't know.
Sounds like you need to get a Twitter account then.
I guess.
Follow Kurt Clark at Kurt Clark. And then follow Tanya at LK Starks. There's no numbers in that, I don't think, right? Let me just double check. Yeah, at LK Starks. Follow them. They're fantastic. I love them very much. I had a great season. I had a great time podcasting about this season. All of our guests who came on, Chef's Jim, Bryce, Brooke, Rourke, Emily, and Ethan. Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you all for listening. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening to me laugh at my own jokes. Thanks for listening to me cry about things. And I hope you guys all had a very nice time. And see you in the fall for Bake Off, hopefully. I'm hoping. Hoping to have a great time watching Bake Off. And until then, pack your knives and head on out. Bye!
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We are actuaries. In a world filled with unpredictability, we use our math skills to navigate uncertainty. Actuaries make a difference in people's lives across industries and the world. Actuaries have the freedom to work anywhere. And according to U.S. News and World Report, we're the 25th top-paying career. Make an impact as a fact seeker and a truth teller. Use your math skills for good as an actuary. The world needs you.